Alrighty. Hebrews chapter 11. If you're there, say amen. Alrighty. We're going to read verses 23 through 28. Bible says, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Can anybody say reward for me, please? By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are indeed mighty in this place, Lord, and that you have visited us and touched us already, Lord. And I am praying, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, in a mighty way, that you would bind every distraction, Lord, that you would bring an anointing to teach and an anointing to hear, Lord, and that we would hear from you this morning, and Lord, that we would make the right choice. Lord, that we would choose you this morning, Lord, that we would indeed turn our backs on the world, Lord, and grab onto you, Lord, and continue persevering, Lord, however great the challenges and the barriers might become. And Lord, we lift up your name this morning, knowing that you hung on a cross, Lord, that we might be set free from sin, Lord, and the consequences of sin, Lord. Judgment would come, Lord, and we would be spared from death. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, it was, I got to do math. 37 years ago today, or pretty close, that I began working at the Red Top Ranch, which was just outside of Los Banos, California. How many of you know where Los Banos is? Yeah, it's quite a name for a town, isn't it? Yeah. Is it, nobody knows where Los Banos is? Gene knows where Los Banos is. Oh, you know, you're okay, Fresno, okay. All right, it's kind of like west of Fresno in the middle of the San Joaquin Valley, kind of on I-5 where Fresno's on 99. And Los Baños means? The bathroom, yes. It is a town that's named after a bathroom, okay? And the ranch that I was working at was not even in the bathroom. It was outside the bathroom. And I began working there the summer before eighth grade. And a guy come to my house, we live in Fresno, give us a ride about 45 minutes and go to work there. And the first day, and I've shared this before, I asked my son, he goes, yeah, you cleaned out the shed. Yes, the first day I was there, cleaned out a shed that was bigger than the whole sanctuary. And it's full of wire and all this stuff, and I had no watch. I'm like 13 years old. And I'm counting time by marking stripes where the shadow was going. Oh, this never end. And so I cleaned out the shed. I finished my first day of work, and they said, okay, tomorrow you come back, and we're going to have you chop weeds all day. And I went, oh. So it's, you know, dark 30. I'm getting ready to go, and my dad is up, and I go to my dad. I said, hey, Dad, I'm going to work today, and they're going to have me chop weeds. And he's like, okay, chopping weeds. That, you can make money chopping weeds. That's okay. And I said, Dad, I really don't think I want to go. And he begins to tell me about, I went through all this work to get you this job. And it's an opportunity that not a lot of people have. But I guess if you want to quit, you can quit. And I turned to him and I said, well, Dad, I think I'm going to quit. And I tell you what, our culture, our community, we got too many quitters. Can I get a witness on that? We need people who are not quitters. We need people who persevere. We need people who can do hard things. We need people who can persevere in the midst of challenges and follow through in the hard things that God's going to call you to do. Amen? And so I was talking to my dad, and he was in his bathroom shaving, and I turned around and said, yeah, I think I'll quit. And he followed me. I said, you ain't quitting. You ain't quitting. No, because we don't quit in our family. Now, we take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. And it is a chapter of people of God who did not quit. It is a chapter of faith, of people who had faith and people who were faithful. Beginning of chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. My question is do you have that kind of faith today? Last week, we took a look at Abraham. We've looked at other great giants in the chapter of faith before that, Abel and Enoch and Noah. We took a look at Abraham last week. And Abraham, you can start reading about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And he is called by God away from everything he knows and into the unknown. And he goes to the end of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50, and we are reading about his great-grandson Joseph and his brothers and his father, Israel, moving into Egypt. We jump over to Exodus chapter 1, and they have been there 400 years. And they have become a great people, 2 to 3 million strong. And the Israelites have become a problem for the king of Egypt, for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, I have a plan to deal with these troublesome Israelites, the children of Israel. Abraham's grandson. He says, I'm going to have all of the baby boys thrown into the Nile when they are born. We would frown on that today. Can I get a witness on that? He says, yeah, I'm going to deal with the baby boys. We'll let the girls live because we got use for them. But if all the boys are killed, they will no longer be a threat to us. Now, God had a different plan. Can I get a witness on that? God had a plan. He's going to set his people free through Moses. And the problem with Pharaoh's plan is that Moses was one of those babies. And you will see, as we talk of today, and if you read in the book of Exodus, that the program of Pharaoh conflicted with the program of God. And if you would come to take and understand the Bible, you will see that the plan of the world always is in conflict with the plan of God. We come today to the Word of God. And God wants you to make the right choice. Because each one of us, it's amazing how this has just been resonating today, and I haven't shown anybody my notes. That the options of the world, that the lure of the world will cause us to let go of the plan of God. So I stand here today as Aaron's going to start dumping all the stuff in his garage. I'm hoping that you today will make the right choice. Amen? Amen? Come on now. I got a bunch of youth in here. What are you guys, tired? You 3 days, man, you guys will be fired up. Get a witness on that. All right. Everyone faces choices. Amen? Amen. Come on, youth, let me hear that. Second, there you go. That's what I want to hear. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. Look at that baby back there. Sandra, Natty, just how old's that baby in months? 6 months. Now, that maybe make noise? Oh, yeah. See, it's hard to hide a baby for 3 months, especially a baby boy. They'd be squawking. He says, 3 months after he's born because they saw he was no ordinary child. You guys seen that baby today? Yeah. People fighting to hold that baby. Say, that baby is beautiful. That's what they said about Moses. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Faith takes a risk. You're going to choose God today. You're going to take a risk. Amen? I don't know how much of a risk Aaron's going to take giving his stuff away, because I think Elsie's going to be pretty happy, so that's not too much of a risk. Faith takes a risk. It started with Moses' parents. The Pharaoh had made an edict, we're going to kill all the baby boys. Order came down and throw the baby boys in the Nile. And Moses' parents weren't having it. They were not afraid of Moses. And before, or as part of this edict, go back to Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh had told the midwives, the ladies that help the women give birth to their children, says, hey, every time you come across a boy, throw it in the Nile. And they weren't having it either. They said, sorry, there is something bigger that we are lining up on, and King, we don't care about your edict. We are going to be lined up on our Lord. And there is a strength that happens in God's people. I think it was Leanne that was up here talking about the worship and the community that they shared at that event. Said you only get it among God's people. Amen? There is a strength that happens right here in this place. There is a strength that happens out there in the community. There's a thing that's going to happen tomorrow. And we're going to try to beat those youth playing that mushball game. But there is a dynamic that is going to happen. Whoever wins, there is a strength when God's people come together. Amen? And that was rolling through the children of Israel as they lived lives of slavery. God's people have strength. God's people have more. And when you get into the plan of God, when you begin to see and understand the plan of God, you will understand that as you look out here, that there are some bigger things that are going on. That the choices that you have to make are big choices that are eternal choices. Jesus wants us to understand that. He says in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. There's a whole lot of people out there that can kill the body. Amen? Can I get a witness on that? There's some scary people out there. And we can run in fear and we can do all that kind of stuff. Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was taken by those very people and beaten and crucified, he said, don't you be afraid of them, he says, but rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. And he says, you should be afraid of my Father in heaven, because there is a judgment that's going to happen, and it is an eternal consequence that is going to result from your choice that you make today. Amen? Yes. See, and the children of Israel, they did not see all this, but they realized that there were some bigger things that were going on. We often face critical issues, critical choices, and we don't understand the ramifications. We can choose what is temporal, what is right around us, and we can sacrifice that which is eternal. And God would have us flip that around. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure that there is a reward that is waiting, and you will not sacrifice that reward for what you see around you today. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, Moses made the change. Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a while, for a time. That meant for his life, right? That we got a life down here. Bible says your life is but a wisp, but like a puff of smoke. And you can choose to live a life of sin. You know anybody who's been living around you living a life of sin? Maybe some of you came out of a life of sin. Amen? Right? And he says, hey, you can choose to stay like that, or you can choose to make a change. Moses chose the plan of God over the wealth of Pharaoh. Wealth of Pharaoh. I mean, he grew up. He was the son of the king. It'd be like growing up in Donald Trump's home. I think I showed you this picture before. He's got a $100 million airplane. It has gold plated plumbing fixtures. It has a shower. It's got a 52-inch TV. It's got 1,000 movies ready to go. It's got gold-plated light fixtures. And it just carries around Donald. This is the kind of wealth that Moses grew up around. And this is the type of wealth that Moses turned his back on because he became aware of the plan of God. We are often faced with the same choice. Are you going to work or are you going to play? Are you going to serve or are you going to be served? Jesus talked about that too. For even the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, what is your choice? Are you going to serve or are you going to be served? How many of you, all right, this is a stupid question now. I'm going to ask it anyway. How many of you were blessed in worship this morning? You guys do not even understand the spiritual battle that was raging at 9:15. An hour before our service started, it was just one issue after another issue after another issue. And the devil trying to bring that down. And so I'm just so encouraged by our worship team, my wife, my son playing the drums, and Larry and Kathy and the vocalist. What? I said, right there, Larry and Kathy. I said, Larry and Gail, who play, Sandra, who sings, Mike, who showed up early, Jared, who normally shows up early, who go the extra mile, the teachers, some teachers down teaching right now, those who come and serve, Jean, who's here, Sandra cleans, Katie does food, all the board members. Who are you pointing at? Eva cooks, yes. Oh, coffee. How many of you guys like coffee, Mr.? Yeah. I know that I'm leaving somebody out. Forgive me for that. But, one person who works a ton, Natty runs that kitchen Monday, Wednesday, Friday for lunch. We do the food distribution, works in the kitchen running and cooking the dinner. And she's got help with Irma and Sylvia and Jimmy and Eva and Gloria, and I'm missing people, I'm sorry. But we were talking about that the other day. And as much as she serves, she doesn't even like to cook. You ask her, do you like to cook? She don't like to cook. Do you seek sacrifice? Do you seek to serve? There are those around here that do that, and I just celebrate you. Linda's being trained to do preschool. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, we need you folks to step up. And I tell you, you know what? It is blazingly hard. It is, man. Right, Aaron? 4:30, God getting them up. It is so hard. But I tell you what, the alternative is the pleasures of sin for a time. All right. Pleasure gets between us and God. Your pleasure will get in between you and God. Your pleasure will get in between you and the plan of God. Sorry, I'm not available. God. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures. Everybody say treasure for me if you would. Treasure. I'll tell you what, when they talk about treasures of Egypt, you've seen the display of King Tutankhamun, right? Gold, that was treasure. That was real treasure. He chose disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasure of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. And I'm telling you today, folks, that Jesus has got something better. You say, something better than what? Something better than whatever you got. Something better than Donald Trump's $100 million airplane. Something better than what they got out there on University of Al Capone Boulevard, peddling, whatever they got. Jesus got better. Can I get a witness on that? And you know what? Our author, he's talking about Moses, and he brings in Jesus. He's saying, wait a minute. Moses lived 1,500 years before Jesus. How does Moses have a clue about Jesus? Well, I got to tell you today, folks, that the plan of God runs right through Jesus. Amen? Amen. Bible says that Revelation chapter 3, verse 13, Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the creation of the world. That Jesus has always been the focus of the plan. And Moses might not have seen the end. Children of Israel might not have seen the end, but they could see the plan. Amen? And they saw the hand of God in the midst of that. And they said, wherever this is pointing, we want to get on. Amen? And I'll tell you what, the enemy's going to offer you an opportunity to get off. Get off the track. Make a bad choice. Make a different choice. Children of Israel and Moses said, we're part of the plan of God. We're grabbing onto what God had. The midwife says, we're not killing these babies. Moses' parents says, we ain't killing these babies. There is something better that we are lined up on. We talk about the plan of God. The fullness of the plan of God is in Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. And he says that Moses chose to be part of that. Jesus says, you're going to make a choice today. I hope you make the right one. He says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Is that the choice you're making? I got to grab onto my stuff. I got to get all this stuff. I got to work all this stuff. He says, whoever tries to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel, he will save it. Eternal life will be your reward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are we doing okay?
Yes.
All right. Moses chose the Lord. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses saw something better than Pharaoh. And Moses would have known Pharaoh. Moses would have known the treasures of Egypt inside and out, grown up around, like Donald Trump's nephew, man. He would have grown, he knows the Trump empire. He's looking for a job. He's looking for some little inheritance. He wants to keep Uncle Donald happy. Can I get a witness on that? He understood. Moses understood, and yet he saw something that was better. And in fact, I'm thinking, because he ran away, he wasn't afraid. He says it wasn't even close. Said, Pharaoh, man, you are a distant second to what my Lord has in store for me. Faith is what? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And Moses had that certainty. Moses had that faith. Why? Because he saw him who is invisible. How does Moses see who was invisible? How do we see he who is invisible? Well, Moses could see him in the plan. Moses could see him revealed in his miracles. I'll tell you what, you want to see God? Right up here working in these children this morning. Amen? Amen. Seeing God lining up all the stuff that goes on and helping us overcome the challenges. So you can see God in the fire, in the pillar of fire at night, and the cloud during the day as the Israelites are being led through the wilderness. For 40 years, you could see God every morning when they picked up the man, except on the Sabbath, pick up twice on Friday. And for Moses, God spoke directly. Go back to Exodus chapter 3. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And I'm telling you, have that experience. You will be transformed in your life. It will impact your choices. God will reveal himself to you in all kinds of ways. In a miraculous revelation. And when that happens, anytime you choose, what's going on around you over him, he's going to be displeased with you. Anytime you choose the plan of this world over the plan of God, we call that sin, folks. And God is hoping you don't make that choice. God is hoping that you will take that choice to set your past behind you and to move on to a new future, which is focused on him. Those folks doing the water baptism. Where are you at, Shauna? Well, there you are. A great testimony this morning, girl. And the rest, one, hallelujah. 25 years in the system, set free. Hallelujah. And when you go down in that water, it signifies dying to your old life. And as you come up out of that water, it is like rebirth to a new future focused on our Lord. Now the last, I think two times, at the end of service, somebody has come up and said, you know what? I want to do that. And if you want to do that today, you come and talk to me or Mr. Martin or Aaron or somebody, and we'll come back on up here. Go quick because I'm going to start emptying that thing. And we'll baptize you. And you can die to the old and be raised to the new. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Moving into the miracle. Moving into the miracle. By faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And obedience is a challenge. The life of the Lord is a challenge. Being obedient to the plan of God, it is a challenge. It is hard. And God, knowing the difficulty that we'd face, gave detailed directions for the Passover. Exodus chapter 11 and Exodus chapter 12. And he says, take a lamb into your house. Now, I have a question. How many of you have ever had a lamb living in your house? Anybody? When I was about 7th grade, no, when I was about in 11th grade, we had a cow, a calf. My uncle gave it to us, and it's a long story, but we named him after my chemistry teacher, Fred. And you know what? Having that calf in our backyard was different, man. We're the only calf in our neighborhood, you know? He says, take a lamb into your house on the 10th of the month, and you kill it on the 14th. Now, how many of you have ever slaughtered a lamb in your house? How many of you would rather have a lamb live in your house than slaughter a lamb in your house? Okay, yeah, I got some hands now, all right. Either one. I'm sure that the Jews were thinking, man, I think God's just joking. God doesn't really want us to have a lamb in our house. There's 2 million Jews we're talking. That's a lot of lambs. That's about 2 million lambs. Talking, well, 650,000 men, so say 650,000 homes. That's still a lot of lambs, amen? That's a lot of How many of you guys think sometimes God's talking, he's just joking? Oh, God's just joking. He doesn't really expect me to be holy. Doesn't really expect me not to get high. Doesn't really expect me to be celibate before marriage. He's just joking. Doesn't really expect me not to look at pornography. Doesn't really expect. What's that show you were talking about? That cartoon show the other day? Family Guy? He doesn't really expect me not to watch Family Guy. He doesn't really expect me not to watch Sex and the City. He doesn't really expect me to watch all the vile trash.
Come on now.
He's just joking. Well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the children of Israel got those lambs. And why would that happen? And why did they believe him? It was the other miracles that he did. The plagues on Egypt turned the Nile into blood. Plague of frogs. plague of gnats, plague of flies, plague of livestock, the hail, the boils, I think I got those wrong, the locusts, the darkness, and the plague of the firstborn. He had done 9 other miracles. And within those miracles, he sent a message to his children on the flies. How many people like flies in their home? There are so many flies that they're just on everything, except there were no flies in the land of Goshen, where the Jews live. Then the plague on the livestock. The Lord said, I'm going to let you know that I can differentiate between my people and the Egyptians. And none of the livestock of the Israelites were killed. And then he sent hail. And he said, guess what, guys? I'm going to send some hail. You ought to bring your livestock in. And maybe some of the Jews thought, oh, he's just joking. Yeah, I think I'll just let Fred the cow stay out there. And all those who thought God was joking, those are the ones who lost their livestock. And they realized through trial and error or affirmation of God's word that he was not joking. And so when it came to Passover and he says, take a lamb on the 10th, there's probably some who got a lamb on the 9th. Because they didn't want to mess up and get it too late. And they said, slaughter that animal on the 14th. And they were looking at their clock. Slaughtered that thing. And then you know what? God said, take the blood and take some hyssop and you paint the doorposts top and side with blood. And I'm sure some of the Jews are going, how filthy! Some of you ladies clean it. Nice house. Blood on my house? Not going to happen. It happened. And you know what happened? The death angel came. And it was on Passover. And why do they call it Passover? Because wherever there was blood on the doorposts, the death angel passed over that house. And wherever there was not blood, the death angel came in. And the firstborn, livestock, person, whatever, was killed in that home. And there was wailing in Egypt. See, God will send you a message so that you don't think he's joking. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. Let me shift gears for it real quick. Jesus is our lamb. Say, wait a minute. I'm jumping through 1,500 years here, folks. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I want to tell you this morning that the plan of God runs right through Jesus Christ, who was slain before the creation of the world, and he was slain so that your sin might be paid for, that when the blood of Jesus is applied to you, that your sin is taken away, and when judgment comes, it will pass over you. Amen? Does this make sense? See, he is our Passover lamb, as Paul calls him, slain for us. He was crucified on a Friday. And they broke his legs. Why? Or they were going to break his legs. Why? They broke the legs of the thieves so they would die sooner. Because when your legs are busted, you can't support yourself anymore and you suffocate. Because you can't pull your arms up to breathe. And they broke the legs of the thieves, and they collapsed, and they couldn't breathe anymore, and they suffocated. And they were going to do that to Jesus. And you know why? Because it was a special Sabbath the following day. It was Passover. Jesus, our Passover lamb, sacrificed for us. That judgment would pass over us and we would have eternal life. Amen? Before the original Passover, during the original Passover, the children of Israel lived lives of slavery. And they were liberated from their masters. And the Bible tells us that we were slaves to sin and that Jesus would set us free, shed his blood so that we might be set free from lives of slavery to sin. Moses saw this. Moses understood this. And Moses chose this. He exchanged the wealth of Egypt for the plan of God. And God wants you to make that same choice. The wealth that surrounds us, that you would exchange that in for the blood of Jesus that would transform your future and spare you from judgment. My question for you this morning is, how do you choose? What is your choice? Because some of you have made that choice and say, I will make that sacrifice. And some of you think that God is just joking. You're thinking, God wants me to be happy. You're thinking, God wants me to enjoy life. But as I read this text in these verses, it would appear to me that God is more interested in you making heaven than you enjoying the wealth that surrounds you. It would appear that God wants you to be part of his plan. And some of you guys just cry. No, I want wealth. You can have it for a time. It would appear today that Jesus is asking you to make a choice. And my question for you as we move towards the Lord's table is, where are you at with God? What choice are you making? Now, Roki and his crew is going to come up and we're going to pass out these communion elements. I'm going to ask you to hold them. Keep a focus, gentlemen. You guys can start passing those out. Thank you, Mike. Paul says, as you come to the communion table, as we hold the elements of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Now, this is tough. Keep a focus up here until Johnny gets, or whoever gets to you. He says that you should examine yourself. Maybe you're wondering, what choices have I made? Have I made this choice? Maybe you were in the baptism tank today. Maybe you were in here last year or 10 years ago or 50 years ago. I don't know. What choice have you made? You choose the wealth of this world or you choose the plan of God? You say, well, how do I know? Well, how'd you do this week? Did you serve? Or did you look to be served? Did you give? Or did you take? Did you sacrifice? Or just play? Took an offering earlier. Did you put anything in? Every week, Aaron talks about being obedient to the Lord. And I'll tell you what. You can take a look at the last week and see if your life is exemplary of obedience or rebellion. You can see if you're lining up on the Lord. And so as we hold these elements in our hands, as Paul asks you, so I ask you, let us examine ourselves. Because Moses chose to turn his back on the wealth of the world and to be mistreated with the children of God. And my question is, what are you choosing to be part of? And what are you turning your back on? Be just another. Has everybody been served? Thank you, Mike. Thank you for your service. Mike is another guy who serves a ton around here. Fixes stuff. I'm going to read a verse out of the Gospel of Luke. As you continue examining yourselves. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you I will not drink of it again, of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said to them, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as we hold these communion elements in our hands, and as you have examined your life, and if you have taken a look at this last week, and my question to you is, how have you chosen? And are you pleased with your choice? Is the Lord pleased with your choice? Is the Lord pleased with your sacrifice? Or are you guilty? Do you feel shame? And if you do, there is an opportunity for transformation as we hold these elements. You can say, Lord, I have fallen woefully short. I have embraced the wealth of this world, the wealth of Egypt, and I have not sacrificed and surrendered to your plan in my life. And as I hold these elements, Lord, I don't want that to continue. Lord, as you hung on a cross for me, and there's a judgment that is coming, Lord, and I want that judgment to pass over me, Lord. I make a sacrifice to you, Lord. I give you my life. I surrender all, Lord. That I will become obedient. I will learn, just like Linda's learning to do preschool. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn how to make a sacrifice. Natty sacrifices in the kitchen, Lord. As the worship team sacrifices, Lord, I want to be used in a mighty way by you, Lord. And I want to see transformation in my life. I want you to transform me. I don't want to hold on to my life anymore. I want to lose it for you, and I want to lose it for the gospel. And if that is you this morning, as you hold this bread in your hand, this little cracker thing, you think in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, Lord, as you hung on a cross for me, Lord, my life will be different from now on. Maybe you are here this morning and you are feeling fantastic. As you hold this bread in your hand, you say, Lord, I'm going to keep on keeping on. Because I feel like Moses, that I have seen he who is invisible, and that you are way better than anything else that's out there, Lord. And I am grabbing on to you. And maybe you are here this morning and you just don't care. And this is a really crummy cracker for you. And I feel sorry for you this morning. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you are mighty to save, Lord. That your arm has not grown short, Lord. That you reach down from heaven, Lord. That you are a transformer, Lord. And we give you praise this morning. And we thank you for your body given for us on the cross at Calvary. We ask it all in the Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Let us partake of the bread of the Lord. Hallelujah. Back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 20. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The other gospel says, which is given for the remission of sins. And Lord, we come as sinners to you, Lord, needing to be cleansed, Lord. And as we partake of this, we look back through 2,000 years of history, Lord, see you hanging on a cross, Lord, suffering for me, Lord, and that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Let us partake of the cup of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to have Lisa come up and maybe sing that song again, that new song. And the gentleman will come and pick up the cups. If you need prayer, if you have been touched this morning, as the children or youth came up and prayed earlier, you might just want to come up and worship. Come up and kneel. We'll pray with you. Martin will come up and Gail will come up. And we'll see transformation. Amen? Amen. Amen. All righty. Let's stand. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. And we offer up a sacrifice of praise, Lord. We would sing these songs out. 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 We would sing these songs out.